Continuing. One of the seniors, a stout defensive tackle named Kurt, was there, and he shouted loudly as soon as he saw us. "Hey, Ray, my main man, what's happening?" Ray went up and slapped Kurt's outstretched palm. But when Kurt repeated the gesture to me, I waved him off. "What's his problem?" I overheard Kurt say to Ray as I walked away. A few minutes later, Ray caught up with me and asked me what was wrong. "Man, those folks are just making fun of us," I said. "What are you talking about? All that, yo, baby, give me five bullshit. So who's Mr. Sensitive all of a sudden? Kurt don't mean nothing by it. If that's what you think, well, hey." Ray's face suddenly glistened with anger. "Look," he said, "I'm just getting along, all right? Just like I see you getting along, talking your game with the teachers when you need them to do you a favor. All that stuff about, 'Yes, Miss Snooty, bitch, I find this novel so engaging. If I could just have one more day for that paper, I'll kiss your white ass.' It's their world, all right? They own it. We in it. So get the fuck out of my face." By the following day, the heat of our argument had dissipated, and Ray suggested that I invite our friends Jeff and Scott to a party Ray was throwing out at his house that weekend. I hesitated for a moment. We'd never brought white friends along to a black party, but Ray insisted, and I couldn't find a good reason to object. Neither could Jeff or Scott. They both agreed to come so long as I was willing to drive. And so that Saturday night, after one of our games, the three of us piled into Gramps' old Ford Granada and rattled our way out to Schofield Barracks, maybe 30 miles out of town. I could see right away that the scene had taken my white friends by surprise. They kept smiling a lot. They huddled together in a corner. They nodded self-consciously to the beat of the music and said, "Excuse me," every few minutes. After maybe an hour, they asked me if I'd be willing to take them home. Outside, the air had turned cool. In the car, Jeff put an arm on my shoulder, looking at once contrite and relieved. "You know, man, that really taught me something. I mean, I can see how it must be tough for you and Ray sometimes at school parties, being the only black guys and all." By the time I had dropped my friends off, I'd begun to see a new map of the world, one that was frightening in its simplicity, suffocating in its implications. "We were always playing on the white man's court," Ray had told me, "by the white man's rules. If he treated you like a man or came to your defense, it was because he knew that the words you spoke, the clothes you wore, the books you read, your ambitions and desires were already his." Unquote. Dreams from My Father. Dependency sucks, don't it? But who set it up? Who's staging this play? And what is it anyway? Not just who wrote the script, but what's the point of it? So there it is. There's the setup in all of its hideousness, crabs in a bucket, loss of longing, souls gone into hiding, separation, division, confusion, mutual eye cutting, and a whole lot of unprocessed resentment dumped on us by power, on our time, on our dime. It's a jungle out there. This new film being discussed is a good example of this key power strategy: dupe the young, who can't know the historical commonness under class of what they're going through. You know, so-called working class Liverpool youth, prior to the infusion of a lot of immigrants, could have staged the same film. I mean, sure they have. the historical commonness, underclass of what they're going through, can't know that they're stuck in a living incarnation of Groundhog Day, that film. And that for all the seeming disobedience and militance, they are not advancing us one iota towards our long delayed, much deserved freedom.